Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Mike Armstrong podcast show. And this evening, we're joined by Inez Powell, who is from Lawrenceville in Georgia, near Atlanta. And she is a sexpert. And we're going to have a little chat about how she became a sexpert and what that entails, and just find out a little bit more about her. So how are you doing today, Inez? You okay?
Yeah, I'm doing great, Mike. I was having some technical difficulties setting all this up. But we're on, and so I'm good.
That's good. Yeah, you know, life gives you difficulties from time to time. You just got to learn how to get over them.
That's right.
Yeah, brilliant. So, so as I said in the introduction, you're a sexpert. Now, you're not the first sexpert I've had on my podcast. I've actually had another one on who has actually pivoted now to be more a relationship coach. But I knew what she did, which was a big part of the sexual relationship and the other relationship, you know, sex as part of the relationship as a whole. So that's what she did. But tell us a little bit more about what you do and how you come about doing it.
Well, what I'm doing is I'm focusing on singles and couples and helping them improve their sex lives. So minimizing any distractions that they have so they can form a deeper connection. Now, I got into this not directly into the sex and sensuality industry. I started off as a yoga teacher, then added massage to my tool belt, studied energy medicine, Reiki, and Tantra. And in the last 2 years, I would say I've re-imaged my company to really focus on relationships, with the emphasis being the sexual portion of the relationship. So I'm looking at the energy dynamics that men and women bring into the relationship and how that can often affect how they engage one another.
Yeah, well, I think the whole sexual part of a relationship can be complex. It's a very complex area. It can be very difficult to navigate, especially if there's a mismatch, if you like, in energies and in experience or say goals or ambitions, or, you know, if there's a mismatch in a number of areas of the sexual relationship, it can be a drain on the relationship.
Absolutely. It can take a toll. And a lot of times you would think that as adults that we would be comfortable talking about sex and sexuality because it does play such an important function and role in relationships. Yet we're not. You know, we come into our relationships with expectations, some of them not very well founded. We come in often with trauma, you know, something that could have happened during childhood or adolescence. We also have the effect of society. You have the effect of religion. So really my goal is to make it less shameful, to take away a lot of the guilt, because that's something that I've had to deal with and I'm still dealing with it. I'm just getting more comfortable in talking about it, where I'm not shy and I'm not hiding away and accepting that I am a sexual being and sex is good.
If you're doing it right, it can be great.
Right, exactly. And that's what people want. And, you know, one of my Tantra teachers, because I'm in a number of groups, and that's something that we talk about. You know, we say that Tantra isn't something that you learn. Tantra is something that you are. So we're all tantric, we're all multi-orgasmic, we're all into everything. It's just a matter of rediscovering that genuine, authentic person, you know, that we were meant to be and not what we've allowed society or our parents or our spouse or past relationships into forming us.
Yeah, and it's fighting the repression and regression, you know.
Absolutely. I would say there's a lot more repression. You know, there is some regression and I experienced that. You know, I would get like really excited. I'd learn a new tool and I'd want to share it with people. And if people weren't open to it, you know, I immediately would just, I would try to regress back, but you can't. No. It's almost impossible because, you know, you've opened Pandora's box and you learned all these new things, and just because other people who you happen to be around aren't interested in it, you can't put that interest away. You just kind of meet new people. So that's what's happened over the years. I've just met more and more people who are, you know, who share similar or the same interests. We may focus on slightly different things, but we're all the, you know, we support each other. So I'm happy to have met people, you know, who I consider my peers and mentors who do the same thing. And we help singles and couples. We just do it in different ways.
Yeah. And I think it's very adult and very mature to be able to deal with these topics. So I'm somebody who will face things head on. So a lot of people will shy away from them and maybe not air them or not talk about them or their feelings or their sex life or whatever because of society's impact on them. But for me, I feel it's your duty, even if you don't feel comfortable with it, it's your duty to talk about these things, because it's only by vocalizing them and talking about them and normalizing them. And they become normal. And I believe that the whole world should be a bit more Scandinavian in their style, you know, a bit more open and a bit more educative, really, and not so repressed.
Yeah, and I do think it takes time. You know, one of my teachers had a saying, you don't know what you don't know. And so I, you know, and another teacher would say, you meet people where they are. You know, I've met people who are very open, you know, they're also instructors, they do webinars, they're very open, they're in the adult industry, you know, they have OnlyFans pages and things like that. And it's great. And then you have someone who's like me, who I'm not as open to have an OnlyFans page just yet, you know, but still I can hold a conversation and not feel uncomfortable and talk about sexual topics without blushing and shying away. And then you have some people who they're not there yet. So you see a mixture of things, you know, and you have to sometimes be willing to accept people where they are. And those who are ready will ask you for, you know, they'll ask me for information, and I'm more than happy to share resources, to direct them to the instructors that I had who put me on this path. So it's being teachable and having an open mind. If you're going to be closed-minded, anything that's presented to you, even if I can provide scientific facts, you're going to reject.
Yeah, definitely at all. So I'm happy to deep dive into a particular subject area because, you know, I'm interested in what the life of a sexpert looks like. So what would be the main area that you tend to deal with, whether it be, say, a single person or a couple? You know, I guess it's probably two different areas about that, but what are the main challenges you have as a coach?
Actually, Mike, it's the same area. I'm looking at your energy. So if you're an open person, you're going to attract people who are open and who are going to have similar likes and similar tastes. If you're repressed, and let's say you attract, you know, or you're attracted to somebody who's very open-minded, there's a mismatch there. You know, that partner may be willing to, maybe more willing to explore different like sexual positions.
Literally and metaphorically.
Literally, metaphorically, spiritually, you know, sensually. Whereas if you're somebody who's completely closed off, you're not going to be able to relate to this partner. Your sex life is not going to exist. Somebody is going to not have their needs met. So it's being able to set up a scenario where either individual, if it's a couple, where both couples feel comfortable and there's a safe environment where they can be raw and share their emotions and not feel judged. And I think even as a single person, you run into that. You know, if you have a particular kink, let's maybe somebody's into BDSM, maybe they have a particular fetish and they feel uncomfortable telling this person who's perfect for them in every single way, hey, I have this fetish, because they know that they're going to be judged.
Yeah.
So as a coach, it's really setting up a safe environment to say, this is a non-judgmental environment and let's explore this. Let's explore, you know, it may It may, for a single person, it may mean the end of that particular relationship, and knowing that they can love themselves first and foremost, and by loving themselves, they'll attract the partner who best suits them.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely agree. So you're sort of a middleman sometimes between the discussion, if you like, allowing them to have a safe place to be able to open up and say, well, you know, this is what issues I have about maybe you know, wanting sex or the way that you like to conduct sex or whatever. And this would be like, well, this is the issue that I may have, or this is how I feel comfortable or uncomfortable, or you don't make me feel special, or whatever it may be. You're sort of like a refereeing, if you like, in a safe environment, those sort of debates and getting them worked out and seeing if you can find compromises and that's
it. Right. And also too, my background is in yoga and my other background is in energy medicine. I'm able to combine all three. So we have the coaching, which is a discussion, and then we have the yoga, because a lot of people are unable to move their bodies. So moving your hips is very important. You know, if you have tight hips, how can you do all those crazy positions in the Kama Sutra?
There's no rhythm.
You have
no rhythm.
Exactly. You have no rhythm. So, you know, making people present in their bodies, I think just in general, we tend to move around in the world and we'll feel pain or we'll feel discomfort or we have displeasure and we don't know how to vocalize it. We just know that there's a pain. So sitting sometimes in that pain and just saying, okay, I'm going to move through this. It's not going to go away. We're acknowledging that the pain means something. All right, what does it mean? And to sit into that. And then the third component is really important, and that's the energy work, because there you're not talking. There we're just dealing with the body. And I always tell people, when you walk into a room, it's not what you say, it's not so much what you dress, it's your energy. Everybody's gonna feel your energy. So if you come in and you're super shy and you're timid, well, that's how you're gonna come across to people, is shy and timid. If you come in and you're confident and you're boisterous and you walk into a room, everybody's gonna look at you. You're gonna draw attention to you, sometimes without even saying a word.
Yeah, definitely. If you show up, if you've got the right vibe going on, you know, people are attracted to you.
And it just happens naturally.
Yeah, definitely. And my guess is as well, there would be, if you like, the popular moans that women have over some men, my guess is there may well be some practical work that needs to be done to help men to get to a point where they maybe can satisfy the woman in their relationship, because you hear a lot. It's not something I've experienced much. Women could be unsatisfied.
I really focus more on the energy. So I'm not so much onto here's a technique to, you know, I'm not into the mechanics. Uh-huh. I know people who do mechanics and I could definitely refer them to mechanics. Okay. I'm dealing with more the emotional and the energetic components of the relationship.
Yeah.
So, you know, there are certain what we call archetypes. And one of the things that we do is studying the different archetypes. So you have, for example, a warrior archetype who is very protective. You have a nurturing archetype for women, you know, called the moon, where she's naturally nurturing. You know, each person, there are four different archetypes for men and women, and the ideal person has all four archetypes, quote unquote, online. So you're able to navigate the world using all four archetypes to attract what you need in your life. Well, if you're only active in one archetype, that means the other three are not helping you. We need to start moving the energy and expressing that energy into our lives so that we can bring all four online and that way function as a full human being.
I get exactly where you sit then. So if people need help with their sex lives and the practicalities of that, you would have other people to do that. But I guess the practicalities take care of themselves a lot of the time. If you get people on the right energy level, if they're in tune with each other better, then
absolutely
the practicalities of the situation will generally just take care of itself, because I guess it's human nature at the end of the day.
It is. And obviously, there are some things that are out of my control. So what I always tell people is, if you are seeing a medical professional, make sure that the issue that you're experiencing isn't something medically related. A lot of times changes can happen just by changing your diet, exercise, body movement. That's where the yoga component is. And then changing your energy imprint as to how you're interacting with the opposite sex. That's what you're into. And maybe, because you can have a man who's very effeminate, he has more feminine energy than he does masculine energy. Well, he's going to attract a more masculine woman.
Yeah.
And you can have vice versa. You could have a very feminine woman who's going to attract a very masculine male. Or, if you're looking at the same sex couples, you can have a very masculine man with a very feminine woman, and vice versa for ladies. So it really depends on, it doesn't depend on your gender. It doesn't depend on your sex. It doesn't depend on your sexual identity. You're really looking at it from an energetic perspective.
Yeah. Yes. It depends on what sort of characteristics and values and stuff that you have, and whether they're interacted and aligned and that sort of thing. I'm interested obviously in sales and marketing and business growth and entrepreneurship and all that sort of thing. Do you find it challenging as a sexpert when it comes to marketing? Because sometimes we still live in a fairly sort of edited society where sometimes you can't say things in certain places for some reason, even though it's natural. Even though sex is natural, they don't like you to talk about it in some situations, some social media platforms, etc. So do you find that challenging?
It is, and I'm still fairly new, particularly in this industry. Here in the U.S., there's a law that was passed, I want to say 18 months ago, called FOSTA and SESTA. So anything that's related to sex kind of falls into this category. And this law was created to prevent, to prevent sex trafficking. And the focus was really to prevent child sexual trafficking. But anybody who talks about sex, whether it's a sex therapist to an adult film star, we're all put into this one bucket.
Yeah.
So how you navigate, I've had people who I've followed for years who they're shadow banned on Instagram, or their Facebook pages get closed down, even though they didn't show anything, they didn't show any nudity. They're not using emojis. That's another thing that's really tagging people's pages is emojis. So there's this gray area, you're talking about sex, but you're going to repackage it as intimacy or, sensuality. I know one particular coach in Houston, I love what she's done. She's used her TikTok videos and written the words out, like just little blurbs as to do this and do that. So she's not doing music. She's not talking, but she's still giving you the information. And I told her, I was like, this is ingenious. Yeah, I was like, who edits your videos? Because that takes time. And what's really frustrating, I guess, for me is people are looking for this information. There's a lot of misinformation regarding sex, sexuality, sensuality on the internet. And you have people who are providing, I'm certified in yoga, in tantra, in Reiki, in massage therapy. So I'm not just an average person who decided to come out here and say, well, I'm going to talk about sex. I'm not a reality star. I'm not a movie star. I'm not an actor. I'm somebody who spent the time and has the education to be able to teach this information. You have doctors who are sex therapists who they can't talk about their craft and I feel it really just hurts the public in general. And it's sad. And hopefully, you know, with this new administration, we can address some of these issues, because you have advocates and you have activists who've been saying, hey, we realize that there's an issue, but this is affecting the industry in a negative way, not in a positive way. You know, they've been pushing and pushing. And anytime that this law comes up, they're like, hey, you're not talking to the people who you need to talk to. You need to talk to the advocates. You need to talk to the activists. You need to talk to the sex workers who are doing this work, who are seeing clients every single day, because they are negatively affected, and you're affecting people's livelihoods.
Yeah, definitely.
It's a big deal.
Putting any business that has sex in it in the same category would be a wide range in variety, a very interesting tapestry bucket, you know, everyone's all chucked in. You know, there's a vast difference in businesses there, and to put them all under one umbrella that's what annoys me about public sector and government and things like that, you know, is like one rule for all, and it's like no tailored ability, no like, you know, trying to be, you know, adaptable and flexible and tailored to the situation. It's just like a blanket rule that, you know, it's just like, don't make no sense. You know, I think it's lazy. It's lazy sort of politics. Like,
it is lazy. It is lazy. There's a lot of nuance between what, say, a sex worker who chooses to have sex with their clients versus what I do, you know, and yet we're all considered sex workers, which is fine. You know, it took me time to really be able to adjust to that and claim that, because I was like, wait, I'm not a sex worker. You know, I don't sleep with my clients or anything like that, but I do talk about sexual topics and I help my clients overcome those sexual challenges. So I had to come to terms with that. I don't sleep with my clients. You know, I provide them energy work and I provide them coaching and how to move their body and things like that. But there shouldn't be anything wrong to say somebody who's a sexual surrogate who, you know, if somebody's unable to maintain an erection or somebody is coming over trauma because they were sexually assaulted and they crave sexual touch or even intimate touch. You know, every time that you're naked doesn't mean that there's penetration. There's more to sex than there's penetration. And I think that gets lost. You know, if you're somebody who is suffering from if you're disabled and you can't move, that doesn't mean because you suffer from a disability that you don't want sex. How do they get their sexual needs met?
Yeah, definitely. Well, there's a whole lot of, like you say, nuance to the subject. There's a whole lot of very different situations and different, like you say, you know, therapy and tantric stuff and sex experts and then you got massagers, and then you got like, madams and that side of the sort of the business of sex. And then you've got the individual, you know, street walkers and stuff, like, you know, and sex shops. And, you know, there's also, you know, it's just complicated. And I know like Facebook and a lot of these social media platforms don't allow you to communicate, you know, on them and stuff. So, you know, my strategy, I suppose, would always be to try and make sure you've got yourself something that is allowed, like a website or something where you have ownership and just drive traffic to there all of the time. Because, you know, if you're living in a very risky marketing sphere, you don't want to put too much effort and time into something that could be pulled away. So you have to find something that is, you know, the protected part of your business and just drive traffic to that bit, and then, you know, not worry about the rest of these platforms, which is tough because they're all.
And it is. It's a challenge. And that's something that I've definitely done, you know, as I've gotten more and more comfortable in my business, you know, is a digital migration. I still maintain my Facebook page, and I do IG. I mean, Facebook and Instagram are owned by the same company. But I also created like a Slack room. And, you know, I have my webpage and, you know, I post blogs And I'm very active on Twitter. So there may be things that I say on Twitter that do not appear on Instagram, or there may be things that I say on Instagram that don't appear on Facebook, because I know, you know, Facebook is a little more regimented and repressive. Or, you know, in my Slack room, we can speak freely. You know, there people don't have to censor themselves. And also looking at, I know a lot of people have set up a Patreon channel. So that's something, I may not go the Patreon way with Patreon, but definitely looking at another format similar to Patreon, where we can have those discussions and I have more control over it. And I'm not worried that somebody's going to come one day and just cause my page to disappear or block me and I lose all of my content.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And we obviously met on Clubhouse. Have you set up a sex room yet? Yeah.
I have not. I've co-hosted a couple of co-moderated. There was one in particular, Lady V of DV Passion. She brought me up to the stage and that's how we met that one day, because she was the one who was moderating. So we plan on doing something in the future. Earlier this week, I co-moderated a room with Amita Peterson from the Atlanta Institute of Tantra. And she just posted in one of her private groups that she's looking for co-moderators. So that's something that I look forward to be able to collaborate with her. I haven't set up my own room per se. I'm definitely willing to collaborate with many of my mentors and peers on Clubhouse. I think Clubhouse is great. I absolutely love it. I think it's actually like the future of social media, where you're able to connect with people all across the world and network and expose what you do and not have to worry about the marketing with like spending hard, cold cash on ads or this or that. You know, I think that it came out at the perfect time. I mean, I hate that we're in a pandemic and everything else. I think that it's serving a purpose and it's showing that business is still being conducted. It's being conducted in a different way, in a different manner. And society just needs to get used to that, because going back to normal is, that's over. It's a new world. So I never say the new normal. I kind of kindly suggest people, I'm like, you're not going back to normal. You have pre-COVID and you'll have post-COVID. Post-COVID, you know, we all have the ability to create the world that we want to see. And I was like, focus your energy on that. It's really easy to get caught up in the fear and to be scared. And I went through it, you know, when it first happened. I tell folks, just keep your immune system really strong. There are a number of supplements. The more that you eat, it's getting warmer here in the US. It's a beautiful day out today. You know, the sun is out. I was like, go out, go for a walk. That's how you get vitamin D. Watch your digestive system. Your digestive system is an indicator of everything that your body is capable of doing. So you want to make sure that your digestive system is working top notch. Get plenty of rest. There's no reason for you to overwork yourself doing, you know, over 40 hours. It's just, that's insane. There's no reason to do that. You're going to have to pull back. There's a wonderful woman who I follow on Twitter and Instagram. I follow her everywhere. She's called the Nap Ministry. And she tells people, rest. Like, the biggest resistance that you can do in a capitalist society is to turn everything off and to rest. And I love what she does. And it really forced me to re-examine how I interact with people, how much time I spend on social media, how much time do I spend, you know, actively searching for clients and things like that. So when my eyes start to feel heavy and I start to feel tired, I'm like, oh, it's nap time. And scheduling nap time as a part of my daily practice. You know, scheduling time to spend outside, just reading for pleasure, not, you know, reading because I feel obligated because, oh, this is a new marketing technique that I could use and exploit to bring more people into my business.
Yeah, you might like my happiness formula, actually. I created a happiness formula at the start of lockdown last year. And it's called SMART, the SMART Happiness Formula. And the SMART Happiness Formula stands for sleep, meditation or mindfulness, ability to perform, which covers exercise, nutrition and hydration, and then random acts of kindness, and targets, so goals, you know, setting those sort of small, medium, and long-term goals. And I've got a routine that if people follow on a daily basis, doing all of those things, I believe it'll make them the happiest them that they can be.
I love it. I love it, Mike. I love it. I love the whole thing. I mean, that's definitely something that, like, the meditation portion for me was big. You know, I wasn't a person who had incorporated chanting. You know, I have a lot of books and I knew a lot of Kundalini yoga teachers who really focused, a lot of Kundalini yoga is focusing on chanting. So you're working that third chakra. And it always felt weird and uncomfortable to me, you know, hearing the sound of my own voice. Excuse me. And I had to get used to that. So like for 4 months consecutively, you know, every morning, the first thing I did, even before I brushed my teeth, was I did my series of chants, like every single day. And there are certain words, there are certain chants that you do that set a vibration around your body. They set about a vibration around your space. And so it's just, you know, it's consistent. I've kind of slacked off a little bit, but, you know, going as hardcore as I was going, I think that really helped stabilize me with all of the changes that were going on.
Yeah, okay, yeah, fair enough. So we talked about the sort of marketing angle of, you know, the challenges, if you like, the blanket ban on the use of certain terms, etc., which obviously is challenging. But obviously, I guess you've come around that with a number of ways of people being able to engage with you. You mentioned your Instagram and your Facebook and all of that. Have you got a website? And would you like to share your web address and also some of your social media account names?
Sure, Mike. Absolutely. Thank you so much for asking. So I do have a website. My website is called Blissful Yoga, the word and spelled out, massage.com. On social media, on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and Clubhouse, it's Black Latina Yogi, all one word. I keep it very, very simple.
Yes, definitely. And you should also register the domain name Black Latina Yogi for your website as well, because you could actually have two domains on your website. So as people get to know you, they might Google search Black Latina Yogi, and then you want that to come up as well. So, or the other thing which you could do is create a landing page on your website dedicated to your social media. I have a little description on there about Black Latina Yogi, which would then put that information, that keyword, quite relevant to that page, because you'd be linking to different social medias and also called Black Latina Yogi, which means that page would start ranking really high in the search engines, because you just want to make sure, search it now and test it and see if you're being found. And if not, just create a page on your website with that information on.
Sounds great, Mike. Thank you so much. That is something definitely that I'll do today.
Yeah, brilliant, brilliant. And so Black Latina Yogi, obviously the yogi is the yoga bit. The black, I can see, is the beautiful blackness in yourself. And the Latina,
thank you.
What's that mix? What's the Latinas?
The Latina mix is that both of my parents were born and raised in Cuba. I was born here in the States.
Okay, so you're Cuban. That's
yes, lovely. I am.
I've been to Cuba and I loved it, you know, because I love bright colors. I love spice. I love, you know, I love that sort of anything exotic, anything exciting. You know, I'm all for, you know, variety is the spice of life, I say. And so it's the Cuban mix. Nice. So that means you must be a good dancer.
I partner dancing, I'm not good at. I'm great, you know, I'm great dancing salsa by myself. Dancing with a partner is allowing the man to lead, and I'm two-footed at that. You know, it's It's knowing that you have a partner who you completely trust. I'm always in awe when I see people dance because I was like, I want to do that. I have to learn. I have to take classes.
I love to dance. So because I've been to Cuba and I love Cuba as well, my favorite bar in Cardiff, which is where I go out, is called Revolutions to Cuba. And they have salsa dancing and all sorts of stuff in there as well. I'm no good at dancing with a partner either because I'm no good at dancing to rules. I'm very good at dancing to no rules, like dancing to the rhythm. You know, I like to dance to the rhythm of the music. I got rhythm, natural rhythm. I want to dance to the beat of the drum.
Right. Yeah. There are definitely rules to dancing with a partner. They go with the motion. And bring this back to relationship, everything relies on trust. So trust your partner completely. You know, things have a tendency to flow better.
Yes, definitely. You've got a bit of a Wi-Fi issue at the moment. So I think as we're almost time anyway, as the Wi-Fi is starting to drop, I'm going to say thank you very much for coming on the podcast and for sharing some
information. Thank you for inviting me.
No problem. And yeah, thanks for sharing some interesting insight into what you do and how you do it. And keep doing some great work because there are always people that need coaching and training in any area of life, and sex is an important one. And so, there's definitely people there whose lives can be improved by the improvement of their sexual relationships with either their partner or their wives or their trio or whatever it is, their same-sex partners, the people that share the same kinks, whatever it may be. Life's a rich tapestry, and you keep helping them work out their issues, and they'll have a much better life, and that means you're doing good in the world. And that's what I'm all about. As long as you're giving value somewhere, then you're doing a good job.
And that's what it is. Thank you so much, Mike, for inviting me on your show.
No problem.
It's been a pleasure.
No problem. And I look forward to joining you in another sex chat in the clubhouse at some point, because I met you in one. That was the only one I've been in. But I have thought about going into a couple more when I've seen them, but I've just been busy. Obviously, my priority is networking, and then it's educating. And then after that, it's about exploring and just finding, interesting people who've got different stories and et cetera. So you keep being unique, keep being you. And I look forward to joining you again when I can.
Okay, definitely do that, Mike.
No problem. All the best. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.